Time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of John, John chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 15 through verse 21 to begin with, and I believe we'll be reading some verses further than that in just a few minutes. But we'll begin with those, John chapter 6, verse 15. While you're looking that up, I'll share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write, just add the zip code and the box number to that. The zip code would be 62341, and the box would be 43. So please drop us a note if you'd like to. I'd love to hear that you've come to know the Lord Jesus through someone witnessing to you or through this program, as you've heard me proclaim through the and by the Word of God, that you must be born again, you must be saved. You must confess your sin to the Lord Jesus and come, and He will save you. Please come to Jesus today. Now that you have found John chapter 6, verse 15, please follow along as I read these verses of Scripture. When Jesus, therefore, perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship, went over the sea towards Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Let's begin with prayer before we go any further. Father, I thank you that we can come today and look to your precious word and enjoy it each time. Oh, that we can have your word, the Bible, the complete, your word of God, complete from cover to cover, in our hands, carry it with us, take it wherever we like to, Father, not to just only have one, but I have many. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to know you and have given us your living word to search, to study, to know and more about you and just know you, Lord. Come by faith to you and be saved, and then have the walk and know where to walk and how to walk. Father, thank you for your word. And I praise you for that opportunity, and please, please help us not to neglect the study of your word, neglect the time to look to your word. Now, as we continue through this study, and we looked at many miracles and things that you've performed, and we're going to continue to do so, I ask, Father, that you will show us each and every one as I read the verse of Scripture and read it again. It shows me something new again and again and again because it's alive. Thank you. Thank you that you're a living God. You're not a statue that we serve. Now touch our hearts, Father, today as we study your precious word. I ask that you would guide and lead us and your power would go forth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we were together, we looked at the verses of Scripture over in Matthew, Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And we find, and again I ask you to take just a few minutes and keep your hand in John chapter 6, but then turn back to Matthew chapter 14, because we're going to look once again at those verses of Scripture before we go any further. But as we look at these verses of Scripture and search them, we find the differences of what John was looking at and the Holy Spirit chose to have him record, and then what Matthew was looking at and what he chose by the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit chose to pen through his hands and his writing for us to have. It is all his living word. don't think that we're going to throw some of these parts and sections out. Some folks do that, you know. They just kind of pick out what they want and they ignore the rest. And today, in the preaching that we hear today, I'm not even sure they open the Word of God to do that. I have many years, you hear about the Reader's Digest version, and I think some preachers, that's where they get their messages from, is from Reader's Digest, Popular Mechanics or Psychology Today or something or other. Please, the only place that we need to be poring over and studying is the Word of God, and that's where we're going to be today. And we find in verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come to take him by force and to make him a king, he departed again to the mountains himself alone. We learn in chapter 14 of Matthew that he went there to pray, according to the 23rd verse. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And as evening was come, he was there alone. And so he went to pray. And it's important today, too many times there are people that do things that others can see. Just a couple of weeks ago, we spent some time concerning whose glory do you want? Do you want the glory of man, or do you want the glory of God? Now, you can tell very quickly. When you pray, are you praying with all these fancy words and putting them all in the place? And do you come one time, a preacher friend of mine was preaching a funeral, and as many times, if it's someone that has lived in the community, there may be more than one preacher that has the funeral. And that was the case with this preacher friend of mine. He was sharing a funeral, having a funeral with someone else to help as well, another preacher. And after it, why, this preacher said, you know, I can get you a book of prayers. Well, a preacher friend of mine doesn't need a book of prayers, because he has the Holy Spirit in his heart, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and tells him what he needs to say by the study of the Word of God. And it's not all these wonderful, colorful words. It's the Word of God, and it's the burden of his heart. I have never read a prayer, nor will I ever read a prayer. And the day comes that I have to write my prayer down and prepare my prayer and read my prayer, is a day that I better stop preaching. And it's a day that I've lost the power of God. And I don't believe that other preacher's even saved. Oh, Larry, to say that a preacher isn't saved, there's a multitude out there, my friend, that aren't saved. They need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. They need to learn from the Lord Jesus. This Jesus, he went away to pray. Do you ever pray by yourself? Or do you just pray when everybody can hear you? I don't want you to pray a prayer that's not from your heart. Somebody will say, you know, I just stumbled with the words. I can't do it. Many people tell me, you know, they can't pray aloud during the church service for the offering or the opening prayer or something like that, or the closing prayer. I just can't. Maybe they can't, but the Lord Jesus sure can through them. And so I want them to listen. I want them to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want them to speak of the words of God from their heart. I don't want somebody that comes and has all these fancy words and has worked it all out when they come. That's what you do. Just ask God to forgive you and begin to pray the prayer that God wants you to pray. And that's from the heart. Jesus went, according to verse 23, Matthew 14, 23. But the ship was now, And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He spent that wonderful time talking with his Heavenly Father. Oh, that we would spend precious time, quiet time, off in the corner, off by ourselves, in our prayer closet. You know, if you want some the power and the strength of God, the wisdom of God, spend time in prayer, quiet prayer, nothing on, just quiet time with the Lord Jesus. Open your Bible up and just begin to read His Word and begin to talk to Him and just enjoy that sweet time with Him. That's how you pray. He'll begin to bring people to heart that needs to be saved. You can pray for them. He'll bring people that are sick. You can pray for them. There'll be people that live in a household that the wife is saved and the husband isn't. You can pray for them. Oh, there's so many things that need to be lifted up. That this brother will grow in the Lord Jesus and separate himself from the world. And this sister will separate themselves from the world. And this cousin of mine needs to be saved. Please, Lord, that you touch your heart and open the door for me to witness to him and share the gospel with him. So many things that need to be taken care of in prayer, always praying. Let's look very quickly before we finish this section in Matthew. If you would please go to Luke with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We'll go to the 18th verse. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh, to pray. You know, we've had these beautiful miracles, and we missed a lot of times. I'll miss a little note as we're studying. And I go back and read that note again. And from last time we were together, why we talked about giving thanks, and we went back and looked at many things with the marriage and Nicodemus and the marriage at Canaan and Nicodemus with being born again and the Samaritan woman and then the healing of the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. And then we looked at the feeding of the 5,000. And I wanted to take a few minutes because all those things brought the people. And they desired, according to the 15th verse of John, that you must be, we're going to make you a king. We want to make you a king. So I ask now, what do you think Jesus was praying for? He's done all these wonderful miracles to bring people to him, that they would be saved, that their sins would be forgiven. But these people, they want him to be king. And we know the reason. Over in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. They want somebody to feed their face, to fill their stomachs. They missed the whole point of coming to Jesus. The miracle, miracle after miracle, as we looked at the taking the bread and making it to feed 5,000 and just had a handful of food. We looked at healing the impotent man, which was broken and lame, and if you look at our condition, would be broken, lame, and blind. This man was just lame, so he healed his legs. He healed his body so he could walk. But a miracle that no one could perform. What do you think Jesus prayed for? I think he prayed that the people would see their need to be saved, see their condition, their sinful condition. Father, please, show them that I am God, but show them that I am not here to be their king and to take care of their physical needs as much as I am to take care of their spiritual need. They need to be born again. It woke the people up enough because according to the 14th verse, it tells us, now I'm back in John, I'm probably lost you today, John chapter 6, verse 14, this is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world. You know, these people knew the Word of God. They knew there was a Savior coming. But instead of realizing the Savior that they needed was for their sin, they just moved him right up to be not only Savior, but King. Now we need to realize that we must come to Jesus and have our sins forgiven. That's what's been eliminated today. That's what's gone out of our churches today, the preaching against sin, the preaching to come to Jesus and confess your sin and be saved and have those sins taken away. That preaching doesn't exist. Today the preaching that exists is a social gospel that tells you that if you attend and you come and you've been baptized and you're a member of this church and you stay a member of this church till the day you die, I will bury you and that's enough. That's a lie. You must come to Jesus and you must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Let's see what these people remembered in John chapter 14, chapter 6, verse 14, when it says, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. We're not even going to get ourselves back to that little part that I told you about last week concerning another man that tried to walk on the water, but maybe we'll get there today. John chapter 6, verse 14 tells us, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now we're going to begin back in Genesis, and we're going to look at what maybe they were thinking about. Genesis chapter 49, almost the end of the book. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Some of these will be very clear, and some not so clear, but please listen. Genesis 49:10. And the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and until him shall the gathering of people be. Just stay with me now. Deuteronomy 18:15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18:15. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. And on to the 18th verse of that same chapter, Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Isaiah. Find the book of Psalms. You'll find Proverbs right after that, and then we'll find Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This is all scripture that they had. They read this. Remember, we're in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6. Maybe these are some verses of scripture that you hear during Christmas time. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 35:5. Isaiah 35:5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The promise of that prophet, back to John chapter 6, verse 14, this is of a truth unto that prophet that should come unto the world. As Jesus departed to pray, what do you think he was praying for? He was praying for the Father's power. He was praying for the Father's strength. And I'm sure he was praying that all the ears that were listening, all the eyes that were sighted upon Jesus, upon him, that they would see and recognize their sinful condition. They're dying in their sin. They're going to go to hell. They'll spend eternity in the lake of fire if they don't come by faith to Jesus. And I'm sure the prayer of the Lord Jesus was to that multitude that he had just fed, that desired to move him up and make him king. That crowd that some recognized that this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Please take that, the words that were in the mouths of those people, and show them for a truth that yes, this is the prophet that's come, Savior Emmanuel. I am him, Jesus would say. Please that all would recognize that he has not come now to be king. He has come now to be their Savior. Savior for what? Savior from what? Savior of their sin, Savior of their life, and has the power and the strength, and did it the only way, God's way, took away the sin. That perfect sacrifice. There's many things through the Word of God, and I say this many times, but you need to know that it never changes. As example after example was presented unto the people, unto Israel particularly, through the Old Testament, each time that picture was showing them of this prophet that was to come. And that picture could be through the sacrifice of a lamb, through the offering. So many things were shown to these people, and each one was an example of the Lord Jesus and what would take place to win, to take their sins away, to have that victory and that joy and the excitement back in their life that they can be back together in fellowship with God. And you must come by faith to Jesus to do that. You need the shedding of blood. That was always a part of the sacrifices, the shedding of blood. It always must be an innocent sacrifice. It always needed to be a perfect sacrifice. And they would take a lamb without blemish. It always looked for the most perfect, which it was never completely perfect. And that's the reason that none of those offerings or sacrifices ever were enough to take their sin away. It was just a picture. Something to cover it today. But then when Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago, he completed those three. His blood was shed. He was an innocent sacrifice. He was perfect. And the fourth, it is always God the Father's plan. No offering or sacrifice could be made without those responsibilities, those things taking place. And Jesus fulfilled all those at the cross of Calvary when he died for you and offered his life for you. These people in verse 15 that wanted to make him king, I believe that's what Jesus was praying for when he went up on the mount to pray. He wanted those people to see that he was their Savior, see their need to be saved. Do you see your need? Do you recognize that you're lost, that you need a Savior? Do you recognize that each and every one that's listening today can come? If you're hearing my words right now and that Holy Spirit is touching your heart, you come. Because God the Father is drawing you by the Holy Spirit to come unto His Son, the Lord Jesus, and be saved. Have your sins all taken away. Please listen so carefully. Do you believe that's what Jesus was praying for? Not only the strength for tomorrow, but also for those that He had seen, those that He had heard, those that had called upon Him, that they would not just want Him to continue to fill their bellies with food, to meet their physical needs. Didn't just want them to heal them, which He did. He performed both of those things many times. Jesus wanted them to see their spiritual need, the need to come to Jesus and be saved. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again into the mountain Himself alone. And again in Matthew chapter 14, we have in verse 23, "And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone." That's what Jesus was praying. I believe that's what He was praying. With many other things on His heart, on His mind. Praying for the followers that was with Him, that they would draw closer to Him and believe and have faith. To have faith is to walk with Jesus. And when He tells you something, know it's going to come to pass and know it is true. To walk with Jesus. He continues to give them examples, and we find another example or a test, you might call it. Jesus is not with them right now, is He? They're out in the middle of this sea, and they're being tossed around, and it's a terrible storm, and they've rowed as fast and furious as they can, and they seem like they can't do anything. They even fear for their lives. They fear for their lives. We have no record of any of them calling unto the Lord Jesus, saying, "Would you please come? Would you please that you would protect us and save our lives? We know that you can if you choose to." But instead of that, we have none of that. We have here that they were afraid even when they saw the Lord Jesus. So it's fairly evident that they weren't looking for Him. But of course, who would be? What would you do when you're in the middle of a storm? What do you do when you're in the middle of a terrible time in your life, whether it be a tornado or as hurricanes go across or earthquakes or whatever may come in that manner? Or maybe it's just a terrible storm that you're going through in your family and in your life itself. Are you looking for Jesus? Do you realize that He can save you and He can protect you and care for you? Or are you as these men, fishermen, most of them, they were rowing for all their life, trying to save their own necks? When we go through that storm, and we're in the middle of that storm, have you got to the place that you recognize you're going to die of your own strength and your own power? You're down as low as you can get. Well, now it's time to look up. Because as here with this storm, they see, in verse 19, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship. When the storm got so fierce that the time was close that the ship would be torn apart and they would all die, Jesus comes. Jesus wanted to show them that when there's a storm going on, I'm always close. I'm always nearby. But instead of them looking for Jesus, desiring for Him to be there, He scared them. Well, you say, "I wouldn't expect Him to be there walking on the water either." Well, you should be. Because Jesus can come through any walls, walk on any water, come from every direction. And he's always there when you need him. He is always there. Will you come to Jesus today and be saved, be born again? My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?